For this season of Lent, we are looking at some Old Testament readings assigned for the Lenten Sundays, which tell us to remember who we are and our identity in Christ and what that means and how that affects what we do and how we respond and how we live. Today we're looking in Jeremiah chapter 26, which are words we just heard Mel read, and we'll look a little bit around at some words before the text that we heard. So if you want to have that in front of you, either in the printed copy that you can find in the red Bible in front of you, or if you have an app or something, or a Bible that you've brought, it'd be helpful probably to see a bit more of the context there in Jeremiah 26. Probably at some point you've got an email bounce back. Either the address was keyed in incorrectly. Paula and I have an email address we've had for years and years. It was one that, you know, looking back, I may have done it differently, but now that we've had it for so long, you know how there are people that, you know, that have that address and you don't want to give it up because you think, oh, somebody might email me that I haven't heard from for years, so I'm going to keep it. Our address is P-A-N-D, the word and, J.Huss. Maybe you've seen that address, maybe you've used that. There's a dot in there, and it's really important. And so a lot of times it gets, if you write it down, that dot, we make it big. Then it looks like you scribbled something out, like, oop, that was a mistake. Make it small, and it gets ignored. So there's a lot of times when people say, oh, you know, I can't send you email. There's a dot in the email address. Do you have that? Oh. Sometimes the message bounces back, not because the address is wrong, but the mailbox is full, or the email servers down, or whatever it is. You get those back sometimes. Sometimes we do that with voicemail too. You know, you call somebody and the call failed. It didn't go through. Or you get the voicemail and it's someone else. You ever get those? Someone else's voice. That's not who I'm calling. It's, you know, she sounds very pleasant, right? We're sorry. The person that you're trying to reach has a mailbox that is full, or whatever. You get those kinds of sometimes those calls come in, or when you make the call, that's the message that you get, right? Sometimes the message is refused. You're trying to communicate, and you can't get through. Sometimes we don't hear well, we don't listen well, and it's because listening can be hard. We're busy, right? We're busy people. It seems like we're kind of running all the time. This week was pretty busy for us as a family. We had some concerts, and Wednesday night was Lent service, and Wednesday during the day Drew was in a play at his school, and another concert on Thursday, and Friday night was a rehearsal for a wedding, and yesterday was the wedding, and Milpitas Cares, and Gina was playing over in Santa Cruz with the jazz band, and so as a family, our entire week was one thing after another, it was so busy that it was just so tiring. We got home last night. We were at the wedding reception. Gina got home from the jazz band over in Santa Cruz, and she got a ride home. And we walk in the house, and the TV's on, but just like a screen, like, you know, the Netflix video she was watching was over, and the next one maybe, you know, is ready, like push the button or whatever. But she is completely out on the couch. So she's just, so tired. When you're tired, it's hard to listen. When you're stressed out, it's hard to listen. When there's so much going on in your life and you're busy and you're, you know, worn out and you're distracted and you've got things you're trying to do, or, you know, a place you want to be, it can be really hard to listen. When the message is confronting us, it can be hard to listen. When what someone has to say is confrontational, is pointing out a problem in your life, that can be hard to listen to, right? Sometimes when we hear that, you know, the defenses start raising, the walls start going up, and the message doesn't quite get through because we're building those walls and those defenses against listening. In the Bible, it says this: how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Does that sound familiar? Right? So Jeremiah wasn't that person. Jeremiah the prophet was not bringing good news. He was bringing confrontational news to Israel. And so the people were like, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to listen to it. We don't want to know. Sometimes we don't want to hear. We do the cover the ears. I'm not listening. I don't want to hear what you have to say. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes these words to Timothy. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So Paul's looking ahead to, well, to today. Not that this is new, right? Because we want to have the word, something appeal to us. You know, the word conform to what our expectations might be. The word that we hear be comfortable, but sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's confrontational and not comfortable. And when it's confrontational, we have this expression that we use, don't shoot the messenger. Is that familiar? Right? Meaning, don't blame the person who brings that message, who brings the bad news. Last week, I talked about a local basketball team that might play in a trap game sometime, right? It was the Warriors. And I even mentioned Phoenix as an opponent. Honestly, I can tell you this. I did not know that that was the matchup later that day. I didn't know that. But then the matchup happened, and Phoenix won. So I guess I'm sorry. Because I, you know, talked about that, you know, and I actually got a text message and an email, I think, and both of them were like, don't talk about that anymore. Use your own team as an example, right? Yeah. And I guess last night, because my team is still the Oklahoma City Thunder, because that's where I moved here from, was Oklahoma City, so I'm still loyal to that team. And so I guess last night was retribution against me. The messenger last week, see, so I've just, I should apologize to the team, I guess, or the whole, you know, state of Oklahoma. Don't shoot the messenger isn't really about basketball at all. It's about when someone brings the bad news or the confrontational news and we turn it back on that person, right? Jeremiah actually says this. Verse 8, when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. If you're following along in the online version of the message notes, there's a link there. You can go to a Wikipedia article about this phrase, don't shoot the messenger. And in that article, it describes the history of it, that there was a Greek biographer named Plutarch, so in the Greco-Roman time, so roughly Jesus' day, who wrote in a book that he had called The Lives of Noble Greeks and Romans. And he wrote this. The first messenger that gave notice of Lucilius' coming was so far from pleasing Tigranes that he had his head cut off for his pains. So the messenger comes, gives the news, you know, the opposing army is coming, and the messenger gets beheaded. Like, wow. Okay, that's pretty strong. That's literally carrying it out. In our time, we don't, you know, think of capital punishment for the person who brings bad news, but sometimes don't we, you know, turn it against someone who's confronting us? Don't we start to blame or whatever, like, oh, that person's telling me some bad news, but it must be that person's fault. You ever gotten defensive like that? I have. When someone's trying to point out something to me and my defenses go up and I start to make excuses or I start to even turn it onto the other person. Have you ever had a doctor bring you a diagnosis that you didn't want to hear, and then right away you're like, well, doc, you should have told me, you know, 6 months ago to change my habits or whatever. Have you ever done that kind of reaction where you're blaming the other person? Have you ever thought, well, you know, all this bad news that we're getting, and it's really because of the media that we're getting this bad news? Well, the priests and the prophets and the officials wanted to stone Jeremiah. And in their minds, they're actually keeping a command of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, God says this, "The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die." So, you know, these priests are gathered around, and as Jeremiah says, you know, this house will be desolate, this city will be destroyed, the people will be carried off, this, you know, the whole, everything we're looking at is going to get laid waste. The people are like, whoa, 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 this cannot be. This is God's city. We are God's people. This is the temple. Jeremiah must be wrong. And if he's wrong and he's saying it's God's word that he's delivering, then he deserves this according to Deuteronomy 18. So in their minds, they're doing right, but they're not correct. Jesus, actually, he spoke these words. We heard these in Luke chapter 13. In our gospel reading today, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." So it wasn't just Jeremiah. It was other prophets along the way who had come, who had spoken of God's people and reminded them of who they were and what God expected and what God had commanded and what they should be doing. And the response was, well, let's get rid of the prophet. Let's get rid of the messenger. We don't want to listen. But we need to listen. There's a cacophony of sound. There's all this information. We live in the information age, and it's information overload age, right? And we have all these voices that are speaking to us and all this information at our fingertips, and we can find anything we want in a device that you might have in your pocket or your purse or on your desk at home, or it can sit on your lap. And it's hard to get away from it. You know, you go, you're standing in line in the grocery store, and there's a bunch of headlines and magazines and different things you can look at and read, and you're, you know, waiting in line. I was waiting in line. We went to Phoenix a couple of weeks ago, and I was waiting in line at the rental car place, waiting to pick up a car, and on the wall, there's a TV, and it's got news on. And so what am I doing? I'm just watching the news go by, right? All this information just bombarding me all the time. You can't get away from it. It's hard to find a moment to even have your own thoughts because we have so much coming at us all the time. What we need to listen to is a message from the Lord. When there's a message from the Lord, then we need to really pay attention and listen. When it's other things, we can maybe filter some of that out. This picture is the prophet Jeremiah, and it's from a statue in Rome. So this is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was actually following God's instructions. So verse 12, "Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the words you have heard.'" So Jeremiah is saying, look, this isn't from me. This isn't something that I'm just making up because I'm upset. No, the Lord sent me to do this. These are the words of God being delivered to remind you, Israel, to remind you, Jerusalem, to remind you, leaders and people who should know this already, that this is who you are, this is who God is, this is what he has instructed, and we have strayed from his path. So Jeremiah was delivering a message from the Lord, and he did it in full trust. He goes on in verse 14, he says, "As for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you." That's trust, right? Jeremiah's got to know walking into this, that this whole idea of, you know, shooting the messenger and stoning the prophets, this is kind of a regular occurrence. This is not unexpected response. And Jeremiah's like, but God said to do it. And so Jeremiah was listening and was obedient to God, and was trusting in God that whatever happens, happens. The book of Romans says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing through the word. So we need to listen. We need to listen to the message from the Lord, because God's word speaks to us. We look through the Old Testament, the prophets, and some various places in the Old Testament, you'll see these words. The word of the Lord came to, and fill in the blank. Right? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and all the prophets get to come and deliver the word of the Lord. This is what the book of Hebrews says. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So the prophets had this responsibility to bring the word of the Lord to the people. But Hebrews goes on and says this, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. By Jesus, who came as the Word made flesh, so that we could hear the voice of God, not through a prophet, but through his own Son, so that he could demonstrate to us what God's will and God's Word is really about. So we could see in Jesus the nature of God, the love of God, and how he would go about his life. And how he would die in our place. And how he would be the sacrifice for all of us who are hard of hearing so often. Except listening goes beyond hearing. It's not just to hear, but it's to hear and then process what we are hearing. This morning it was about 5 o'clock, and I heard something I didn't expect to hear. It was actually Drew's voice calling out. He had woken up in the night, and he sounded afraid. He sounded like maybe he's sick. I can't tell. I'm, you know, waking up. And I go into his room, and he's like, I have a fever. And sure enough, he had a pretty significant fever. And so, you know, the word of his voice coming to me needed to be processed, and it woke me up so that then action could follow. So we hear, but then we do something about it, see? It's not just the word getting in the ears, but then something happens. You've probably been on a flight, right? So when you go and you sit on the airplane and you get kind of comfortable in that seat, and then right before they push push back, then the flight attendant is there and they start to give you the instructions, right? How often do you listen to that? On a scale of 1 to 100, percentage-wise, what percentage of it do you actually pay attention to? I got a 0. 10%, 1%. So this is fun to do. Try this sometime. It's fun. When they click the seatbelt in, just go, oh, I've done that. It's kind of fun. Makes people smile, right? Flight attendants, because they're looking at people who are doing everything else, right? Earbuds are already in, eyes are closed, trying to, you know, get comfortable in the seat, you know, looking at the phone, trying to send that one last email before you have to switch to airplane mode, looking at the drink thing. Everybody's doing everything else. Make eye contact with the flight attendant and go, oh, I've never done one of these before. They have to do that. They have to go through that whole litany of things that you need to know if you're on an airplane. It's required. It's the law. And you think you're tired of hearing it, think how tired they are of saying it. They do it multiple times every day, or hear it multiple times every day. Information has to be received, processed, and acted upon. If you are in a flight emergency, are you prepared to act upon the information that has been given? Ish, right? Yeah. I mean, if that thing pops down from the ceiling, you know, right? Breathe. Help, you know, do your own first and then help somebody else. We've heard it enough, right? But in that moment, are we going to actually follow the instructions? Or is it a state of panic? The idea is we need to act upon what we hear. So obey God's voice is really what this is about. To listen and then obey God's voice. And that starts with repentance. We need to repent. Jeremiah 26, verse 3 says, it may be they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. Turn from. We can make a U-turn. U-turns are permitted. See, this is how God works. He sends us the reminder that we would hear and respond to this call to repentance. Everyone turn from his evil way. This is what Jeremiah was called to do. This was the instructions given to Jeremiah. Go and proclaim this that people may repent. This is the same thing that Jonah was sent to do. Go and proclaim this that they may repent. This is the same thing that John the Baptist came saying. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And repentance is a turning. It's a confession and a recognition of our sin, but it's a turning from the evil ways that we might be walking in toward walking in God's way. So repent. God calls us to that. He forgives us for our past deeds, and he then leads us into the future, that we would follow instructions, that we would follow, you know, what it says. Do this, and we do it, right? This is obedience. This is the new obedience we live out by the power of the Spirit. Those safety instructions are for our benefit. Jeremiah 26:13 said, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent. So we obey through faith by the power of the Spirit working in our lives. The church word for that is sanctification, which basically means living out the holiness that God has given to us. Living in that identity as we remember who we are, as we recognize where we have erred, where we have strayed from his path, and then we repent, we confess our sin before him, and we return to his way. And then we live that out so that our faith is active in our lives. So our lives look the way that they should according to God's design. So the question is, what is God telling you to believe or do? What is God instructing you toward? What's the word of God saying? Are we listening to it and receiving that, processing it, and then taking action? What's God want you to do? Where does he want you to go? If God wants you to go to a place, we follow Jeremiah's lead and obey. Whatever the consequences, we'll be obedient. If God's instructing you to do something new, maybe in the same place, but do something differently, obey. Hear the word, process it, and then take action. Let's listen. Let's listen to what God's word says to us and be the people that he leads us to be. Amen.